from Alice in Wonderland. How funny it'll seem to come out among the people that walk with their heads downwards. Kyle Adams returned to TCS from Philadelphia with the belief that he had been controlled into devoting 20 years of his life to a cult. And he returned with an agenda. Before leaving TCS, he wanted to convince as many people as he could to leave with him. On this list were two people called to trial: his wife Lola Adams and good friend Donna Peterson. On the stand, they both recounted vastly different accounts of what happened upon Kyle's return.
When Kyle came home, he told me he needed to speak to me. I was already annoyed by how long he'd been away and some work of his that had fallen to me, so things were tense before we even sat down. We were at the kitchen table, and Kyle said I needed to go to Philadelphia and that there were some things I needed to hear and people I needed to talk to and that it was important I go. The whole thing was very grave and very vague.
Did Kyle have any specific dates in mind?
Oh, yes. He had dates. He had flights. He wanted me to leave the day after next. He had a whole plan.
What was the plan?
That I informed the temple there was a clause in his grandmother's will that said he'd inherit more money if he was in a marriage the family recognized. So I needed to meet them to get the money.
You had never met Kyle's family before.
No, he never met mine either. Neither of us were in touch with our families, which was common for temple members.
And how long had you been married at this point?
6 years.
Okay. Was this clause really in his grandmother's will?
No. At the time, I didn't know that, but regardless, the whole thing seemed suspicious. I was asking for specifics. How much money? What kind of clause? What was this lawyer's name? Why couldn't we contact the executor? He was being so evasive, and finally I peppered him with so many questions, he buckled.
What did he tell you?
That we were in a cult? That TCS was a cult, and we were all mind-controlled, and there was no such thing as the tapestry, that tie was a fraud?
How did you receive this news?
I thought he'd gone crazy. It was like someone I knew had just completely turned into a different person. He was ranting and raving like a maniac. I thought he'd lost his mind.
You didn't believe a word of it?
Not a word. It was horrifying because I believed that these IFs in Philly had gotten into his head and turned him against everything we believed. They, in their evil destructiveness, had taken him over.
What happened?
He got into a screaming match, and I was so scared to let a second go by without reporting it that I grabbed the phone to call the office, and he ripped it out of the wall.
You didn't have a cell phone?
No.
What happened next?
I wept. I fell on the ground and refused to speak with him. We sat like that all night. He started spouting what I thought was nonsense about Ty and domestic violence and temple funds gone missing.
What did you do?
I detached. I just sat there listening.
Did anything he say compel you to believe him?
No. I wish, but no. Everything he said confirmed to me that he'd been taken over by ignorant forces.
What happened in the morning?
He asked me to promise not to report him to the temple.
And did you promise?
Yes.
And then what did you do?
I went to work, and I told them what happened.
You reported him?
Yeah.
How does reporting work?
I walked into the office. I said an ignorant force had affected my husband. We got a team of crisis staffers in the room and started documenting everything he said to me. Every word.
What was Kyle doing while you were reporting him?
He was having lunch with Donna Peterson.
Donna Peterson.
Kyle had this list of people he wanted to bring with him when he left. Lola was the first name on the list, and I was the second name on the list. It was Monday, and Kyle asked me to go to breakfast, so I went. And that's when we had the talk.
What talk?
The talk when he told me he was leaving the temple, and then I needed to go with him to Philadelphia to hear from some people. Before I decided to keep my family in the group another day.
What was your reaction?
Confusion, mainly. I didn't know what he was talking about. He was animated and behaving strangely. There was an intensity in him. He would lean across the table, open his eyes wide, and whisper to me. It's like he thought there were people listening.
Were there?
Of course not. This wasn't a spy novel. We were in a diner. The entire act was ludicrous.
What did you tell him?
I told him he needed to calm down and it was possible he needed help.
Help by whom?
Well, he clearly thought TCS was some demonic racket. Rather than running around whispering about it, why not go in and just talk to them about it? Tell them what was going on, ask questions. They're not evil. Their doors are always open.
So you encouraged him to talk to temple officials?
Yeah, why not?
Did Kyle agree?
No. He seemed afraid.
And you don't believe he had reason to be afraid of the temple?
No, of course not.
Mrs. Peterson, is it your testimony that your temple doesn't betray its members' privacy?
That's correct.
And is it your testimony that Kyle Adams had nothing to fear?
Correct.
What did you do immediately after leaving the diner? Where did you go?
I went to the temple. The office.
What did you do there?
I talked to the staff about my concerns for Kyle. I was worried about him.
You reported him?
It wasn't reporting. I was just talking. Kyle didn't seem okay.
But you did recount everything Kyle shared with you in confidence.
Yes.
So it sounds like maybe Kyle did have reason to be afraid. Withdrawn.
I'd like that stricken from the record, Your Honor.
So ordered. Many people following the trial of Lola Adams from the periphery do not understand the nature of the defense's argument. They believe that what Lola's saying is that the temple ordered her to kill her husband. That isn't her contention. Her argument is that the temple mind-controlled her into believing that if Kyle left TCS, destruction would rain down upon the earth. Many more lives than one would be lost, and she did what she did to save those lives. Here's the difference between those two contentions. Let's say a mob boss orders a hit on somebody, and one of his underlings goes out and kills that person. Both the mob boss and the underling are responsible for the murder. But if a mob boss puts a vest of dynamite on his underling and told him to walk into a bank, the underling is no longer a murderer. He's also a victim. If the temple had told Lola to kill her husband and she did it, she'd go to jail. But what she's claiming is that she had no choice. She was a victim too. So what role did the temple play after learning that Kyle Adams was planning to defect? There were 7 days between Kyle's return from Philadelphia and his shooting. In trial, they're referred to as days 1 through 7.
So on day 1, Kyle told you about his intention to leave TCS?
Yes.
And day 2, you reported him?
Yes.
What happened the rest of day 2?
I spent the whole day in temple office into the evening. I explained the facts and everyone was alarmed. We spoke about the gravity of the situation. Kyle would be the most senior member to ever leave TCS.
And what did you believe that would portend?
We couldn't know specifically. War, genocide, disease. We were all terrified.
How many people were in the room?
At first, there was me and my primary case manager, my direct superior. After I told him, he called in two other senior officials. Then we all called Ty's direct line, but he didn't answer. We left a message.
What did the four of you do then?
Damage control. We started to strategize. What else could we do? We had to think of a way to prevent this from happening.
And what did you come up with?
We thought if we could just get him to come into the office, we could talk sense into him. But that wouldn't be easy because he seems so determined and emotionally reactive. I was the best chance for the tapestry's salvation. Kyle still cared for me. He wasn't prepared to leave me just yet, but we had to be careful. We knew if he thought there was no chance of taking me with him, then he'd just leave. So our objective was to keep Kyle in Gainesville long enough to persuade him to come into the office.
And what did the office direct you to do?
I was told not to spook him, to let him think I was open to considering his plan for me, but that I needed time. I was told to meditate on this as much as I could. I was told to check in with office officials every few hours. They gave me a cell phone for this purpose.
What were you feeling?
Terrified? It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me, and I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. Literally, everyone in the room was so intense, staring at me, depending on me. But even though I was scared, I stayed really calm. It felt like I was in shock. I knew what I had to do, and when I went home that night, I felt resolute.
What happened when you got home?
I saw Kyle. I told him I'd been meditating all day and that I was open to his plan for me, but that I needed to think more. I needed to process. He needed to give me a few days.
What was his reaction?
He was happy. He seemed relieved, and he agreed. That night, we held each other in bed, and I remember wondering whether he was a villain or a victim. I couldn't tell yet.
Okay. That was day two. What happened on day three?
Day three, I left Kyle at home and went to work. He called in sick, and he wanted me to call in sick too, but I told him I didn't want to rouse suspicions, and so I went to the temple.
What happened at the temple?
The staffer showed me an email Ty had written to me personally. It came in the middle of the night.
And is this a true and correct copy of that email to you from Ty Byman?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd like to enter into evidence Defense Exhibit 245. At this time, I request the witness.
The email read, "Dear Lola, I am both alarmed and deeply saddened to hear about your husband's break with reality. I fear both for his personal health and the union as a whole. As you know, I consider Kyle a dear friend and want nothing more than for him to make a full and complete recovery. It's a sad observation to make, but it would be a lesser tragedy for Kyle to become physically ill than mentally ill. Injury, disease, death affect only oneself, but departure from TCS wounds all. I wish you every luck and will be meditating for a peaceful outcome. Love, Ty."
After receiving this email, what did you do after you left the temple?
I went to TG Sporting Goods and applied for a handgun.
Did you tell anyone else you were applying for a handgun?
No.
So no one at Temple, no one in that room, no one else who saw Ty's email knew you were buying a weapon.
That's right.
Why didn't you tell them?
I guess I was trying to protect them.
From what?
I don't know. The law? Facing it? All of it?
Did you keep it to yourself because you knew they'd disagree with your decision to purchase a weapon?
I was sure they would agree. I was sure Ty agreed. That email made it clear to me that that was what was expected. We all knew Kyle couldn't leave. We all knew that, and it was up to me to make sure that happened.
You applied for a gun alone.
As an insurance policy. I didn't plan to use it. I didn't want to use it. I was sure, I was hoping, against hope, that I could make him see reason. It was my single mission to keep him in the Union. It was the most important. I just wanted the gun to make sure. I didn't want to use it.
Why didn't you buy a rifle? You could have purchased one of those that day.
I don't know.
May I refresh your memory? You stated to the police that you wanted a handgun so you could hide it.
Right. I did.
So to recap, you bought the gun alone, you chose to hide the weapon alone, and the only evidence provided about the Temple's directive is an email in which Ty mourns Kyle's mental instability.
Objection. Compound and asked and answered.
I didn't want to use it.
Lola, were you taught in TCS that Ty was infallible?
Yes.
And did you understand him to be communicating a directive to you through that email?
Yes.
And what was that directive?
That it would be better for Kyle to die than to leave the Temple.
I want to get started here because I am deeply concerned about that email. I don't know. I'm guessing I'm not the only person that's thinking that.
I want to talk about this for so long.
I'm not that concerned, but go ahead.
Okay, so when I was looking at it, I want to phrase it in a perspective that everyone can understand. It says, "Dear Lola, I am both alarmed and deeply saddened." So that's a selfish standpoint. You know, "I am deeply saddened. I am very sorry to hear about your husband's break with reality." That's the TCS reality. That's his reality. Right. Not reality, not Kyle's new reality. Right, it's the TCS reality, right? Right. Yes. I fear, again, selfish intent. I fear that both his personal health and the Union as a whole. Oh, I fear both for his personal health and the Union as a whole. That's another selfish intent. You know, I fear.
But also,
as you know,
personal health, like he's making it sound like he's having a crisis.
It sounds like he's caring, right?
Narcissists talk this way.
Yeah,
clearly narcissist.
No, go on.
I like your dissecting.
So let me continue.
In the beginning,
which
is chilling.
Yes. Let me continue. As you know, I consider Kyle a dear friend and want nothing more than for him to make a full and complete recovery. So this is one intention. I consider Kyle a friend. So this is Ty speaking. Ty considers Kyle a dear friend, and Ty wants nothing more than for him to make a full recovery and complete recovery. So that's a positive.
Come back.
That's a positive. Yeah, exactly. I want him to come back to TCS.
Yeah.
Because that's my reality, and that's the reality that I think he should be a part of.
Yes.
It is sad. So this is him assuming an assumption, an observation. It's a sad observation to make, but it would be a lesser tragedy. So it would be better for Kyle to become physically ill than mentally ill.
Hmm.
So right there, he's stating that's an indirect directive of it's better that if he's hurt
right
physically than mentally.
Right.
Injury, disease, death affect only oneself. But departure from the reality that we all are part of, you and me, Lola, you and me, Ty and Lola, from TCS wounds all. So departure from TCS wounds all. That's an indirect directive. It's an influence. It's a form of subtle control. I'm going to move on here. That's selfish again. I wish you every luck and will be meditating for a peaceful outcome. In reality, what he's doing is he's putting his mind to the actual outcome that he desires, that he wants, and not the one that he stated.
Where does it say kill Kyle?
It doesn't.
indirectly,
very indirectly says kill
indirectly
Kyle.
Where does it where? No, it says indirectly harm him. It does not say kill him, but indirectly harm Kyle.
Because it says, because you're focusing on to become physically ill?
Correct.
I mean, does that mean kill? I mean, ill rhymes with kill. I get that.
It does, though, says injury, disease, and death.
Death. Yeah. Affects yes. only death. Kyle.
So those are two those are three opportunities.
So Francis, if you got this email, you would say, I better go kill my husband. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Did it sound like I said that?
No, but I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere. That wouldn't happen to you.
I would.
But if you were under mind control, yeah. possibly.
This sounds like a directive from your boss. I mean, like, you think about all the corporate CEOs that send the kind of same indirective directives to a lot of their
of course.
Employees to do all the shady
selfish
things that are
intent.
Happening today. You know, all the
that's my entire point.
The TPS
that's
reports.
The reason why I wanted
yeah.
to dissect.
You know, and all the Me Too movements
place.
And all the financial things that are coming out.
Like Wells Fargo
as an office space.
I just wanted to bring that to some people's attention.
It's a chilling
in case you
email,
haven't thought of it yet.
And it plants seeds in her mind.
Yes,
but he gives a cop out. I wish you every luck and we'll
right.
be meditating.
And I'll be over here, peace out, meditating.
Yeah.
You handle this problem, I'll be over here just meditating
yeah.
like I always
said,
do.
Save the pants, the shoes are already.
I just picture him holding up the peace fingers and just,
I
am not
a. You know what
cool
I think was the turning point for Lola? I just wanted what she talks about what happened on day one, day two, she reported him. And she said two things that were, again, chilling for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay. She talked to other senior members in the office.
Right.
Yeah.
And they reminded her that he would be the most senior member to ever leave TCS.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that terrified everyone. And she was the best chance for the tapestry's salvation.
I'm focusing.
Given that and the note, she was desperate.
Not to mention she bought the gun the same
guys,
day
I'm
of the note.
And she went out and bought
I'm still,
she was desperate.
I'm still focused on reasonable. Okay?
Oh, I agree.
Whether or not she reasonably believed something horrible would happen should he left.
But doesn't it seem like that?
I think that
I agree she believed something bad would happen. I agree. I think all of us in here, if we raised our hands
that
right
she
now, did she
believe
that? We already kind of did that when we did the vote the other couple days ago.
She reasonably believed it.
But it all comes down to reasonableness.
She reasonably
okay?
In her
it.
Reality,
yeah,
it's reasonable.
No, it's based upon whether she reasonably believed
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
In her reality,
I think she did. And I really think we've
Alex,
this email.
Alex,
that we're
I'm
going,
sorry,
that
I'm not
insane.
Listening.
Yes.
You're
she
shaking your head.
She did reasonably.
No, I'm not.
Was it reasonable?
She was not reasonable. She was not a reasonable person at that time.
There it is.
But it's not about whether she's reasonable.
We're using a
reason. No, it's about her being reasonable.
No, it's not. It says her reasonable beliefs. It doesn't say reasonable person. It says reasonable belief.
To pull the trigger.
But it doesn't say reasonable person.
I know. That's where we
Alex,
come in.
Alex, you're shaking
your
head.
That's where we come in.
So then,
where are the jurors?
That's what we're supposed to
do. Why are we arguing on a statute that's not written in front of us?
Listen, this is the statute. I do want to bring that up. Okay, and this was brought up in other prior deliberations and a couple days ago when we were in here and Campbell brought up this point. Oh, well, I don't like the way the statute's written. You know what, guys? I don't care. We're not legislatures. This is what we got to live with, okay?
Right. I'm saying that none of us like this, the way the statute is, but it is what we have to base our decision on.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to drive home. That's why I'm trying to get the laser focus. We need to think about what a reasonable person would do.
There it is.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't say
it
that.
It doesn't say reasonable person.
It doesn't say a reasonable person. How do you define a reasonable person?
There's a legal standard with respect to how you define a reasonable
person. It says that they believe.
That's where we come in.
Believes that using force is necessary.
So all we're agreeing to is whether we believe that she reasonably believed it. It's not whether she's in the right state of mind. If we were choosing whether she was reasonable, that's almost like an insanity plea to me.
Yeah.
I wish this was an insanity plea.
I do too, because then we could all.
It would be a lot easier. It'd be a hell of a lot easier. But we're not here, people. We do need to focus. We're gonna need to come up with a verdict.
I was leaning towards guilty. Even based upon this statute. But as we go back through the proceedings and those sentences that she said, the email that Kyle would have been the most senior person to ever leave, which meant that his leaving would cause more harm
destruction than they've ever
and
seen.
Destruction than anybody yeah. else who's ever
do,
left.
Do you think yeah. that maybe perhaps that is it possible that she's just creating a defense here? Because there's certain things that Rhodes picked apart. When she heard from Kyle about his quote-unquote deprogramming, she immediately went and told everybody. Mm-hmm. But when she bought the gun, she kept her mouth shut.
Exactly.
Good point.
See, but I think when she got the directive directly from Ty. I mean, yeah, I think she's now so personally between her and Ty, she's like, oh my God, if I take care of this thing that Ty wants me to take care of, I can almost like be more senior than Kyle. I mean, she wants to move up. This is like the President of the United States emailing you something saying, like,
that.
If you take care of this, you know what? So. I'll make you my vice president. That's what I
see. She just wants to be a loyal follower and keep her place.
Oh,
yeah.
I think this email
scares her so
Why didn't she ask for advice? Why didn't she ask for advice?
This email
scare you, friend?
But he's not there.
This email removes her choice, which therefore makes her a victim because she believes so strongly that it's going to create war or genocide. So the kind of inference in Ty's email is the thing that is
in Campbell's.
But is that reasonable? No. Is it reasonable that they believe that the world was going to come apart, people?
No, we don't think it's reasonable, but they do.
That's what we're here to discuss.
Right, but we're not choosing whether we think it's reasonable. It's whether they think it's reasonable.
And look at the use of language in the email. It's so extreme. You can see the manipulation that comes through. He's referring to Kyle's
subtle
position.
Manipulation.
He refers to him as becoming mentally ill.
Subtle.
Mentally ill. Because he disagrees with their point of view.
I call that blaming the victim.
Well, I really like what Campbell said. She just talks about how the last sentence, it just, to me, he's just dumping all of the weight on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that already enough, even in a reasonable person, dumping the weight of a huge situation like that and putting the weight of an entire organization on someone's shoulders already makes them to kind of act out of
norm. I'm a married man, and a marriage is a union. It's a contract. It's two people coming together. In a lot of ways, this is the weight of her married life was on her shoulders.
Absolutely, okay. And not just her married life, but the entire organization was placed on her shoulders.
I agree. You're conflicted.
I'm conflicted over the email. I think it's a bad email, but I'm not overly. I guess because I'm a reasonable person that has my own brain, I'm not so bothered by it.
Let me ask you a question. How do you know he was the one that actually wrote it?
Oh, boy.
Christ, okay.
Oh, my God. How do we know Ty's even occupying his body?
Van, I'd really like to hear your thoughts about the email. Really, what are your thoughts? You've been kind of quiet about it, and you've been pensive, and I know you're going to say something profound.
Well, like I said, it's a clear case of blaming the victim. You know, he's saying Kyle went crazy because he got clear. Okay, Kyle gets clear, anybody gets clear, oh, they're crazy because they don't think like we do.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to point out besides the email is her testimony. She was annoyed with Kyle, okay?
Mm.
Kyle was very vague. She said it condescendingly as if it's bad to be vague. So if she had the common sense and reasonableness to say that he was vague and he didn't give me the fact, he didn't give me the truth, why was she not that still as discerning about TCS being vague and making inferences? Oh, hold on. To me, that says if she can be that reasonable against him, she can also be that reasonable against TCS. Therefore, there was no mind control.
There was because it was the way they positioned themselves.
That's a pretty big.
That was profound.
They
that was very profound.
Positioned themselves as the gospel, you know, they position themselves as the teaching. So she didn't question it. They were programmed to not question what they were taught in this daily, constant
years.
Messaging.
Wait a minute. I want to question her husband.
Yeah. She questioned
because her entire life is being questioned.
And because he was crazy and acting like a maniac. She was frightened. She was scared. This was a different situation from the relationship they normally had. He'd gone away, and challenged.
So that means that we can put aside our reasonableness for TCS, but when it comes to the husband who's going to leave me,
I'm going to
be reasonable and say, you're being vague. What is this all about? And then she lied to him and then reported him.
No, imagine if your wife came home one day and said, you know, who are you? I don't know you. I don't know the kids. Everything we believed is ever a lie. I have to get a divorce from you right now because you're a liar and you're a sinner and I don't trust you and I don't like anything you're doing and you have no idea and I believe in Bigfoot and I think he's going to come and steal our kids. You'd be like, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about?
And on top of that, when she leaves,
that's exactly what he's saying to Lola.
And she's saying, what the fuck are you talking about? Because she's been reading and bleeding this thing for 6 years now, yeah. and he's been doing it with her, if not longer. He's the one that got her so roped into it and brought her to where she is now.
She left her mind in the garbage can. She used that email to support her already antagonism that she already has.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry, but I'm with Van on that one.
No, this shows any antagonism.
No, I'm with Van on that one.
This email is clear evidence of ties of manipulation.
Of manipulation of actually his kind of
Total ethos. Not to mention, we know he's a con man.
I don't think he is telling her directly to go kill him.
No, he didn't write that. I do not think he is doing that at all.
We've all agreed that's what I wanted to hear. I think he is telling her to use every possible
way
at her disposal.
Why it
to
says
try
injury, disease,
to
death.
Change his mind.
Listen to her testimony.
But I don't.
Hang on
think
a second.
He
what
is
you,
thinking wait, of wait. Her going out and getting a gun.
Go ahead, Van.
Listen to her testimony. I went to the room and the others were looking at me. We strategized to prevent him from leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
They strategized.
What's your point, Van?
What's your point? That just helps the argument that they are literally controlling the situation.
What's your point?
My point is when you strategize against someone, you were plotting.
Yeah, okay. We know that.
His family strategized to deprogram
him. It sounds like that any other belief other than TCS can't strategize against TCS.
That's not what he said,
That's not what he's saying.
I didn't say he said that. I said it sounds like.
No, here's what he's trying to go to. Okay, listen, people. This is what I'm trying to go to, too, and I want us to focus on this. Reasonableness. She'll exercise reasonableness when it serves her purpose. She won't be reasonable when oh well I guess I killed my husband but they told me to do it. Did they tell you to do it? No, they did not tell you to do it.
They never said they told her to do it.
They told her that they warned her that great damage would come.
That's what we're here for.
You can't hear anybody else talking.
Yeah.
They told her that if he left, you know
what are you trying to say here, Campbell?
It wasn't just him leaving.
Campbell's coming over to my side. Keep coming, Campbell. Come on.
I'm trying to define leaving because at the same time, isn't death a form of leaving?
But death wouldn't undo the tapestry. That wouldn't be the undoing of all of their
work. The tapestry's not undone when someone dies.
I don't understand that. I don't understand.
You know why? You want to know why you don't understand it? Because it's unreasonable.
Okay, let me put it this way.
I agree with that.
Let me put it this way. Obama would not get elected if you leave, Kyle. What does that sound like? That sounds fantasy.
But we know that
sounds like Game of Thrones.
She lives in this world of fantasy.
You can't use fantasy to murder someone and get away with it.
But she was manipulated and mind controlled to believe in this fantasy.
Also, if Lola knows that at the time that she finally kills him, she is going to report herself to the police. In that respect, she would then leave the tapestry. Isn't that leaving the tapestry?
No, she's not willfully leaving the mindset of the tapestry. Yeah. What she's doing is she's choosing one life to prevent all these things that she believes.
She's sacrificing herself for the greater good of the tapestry.
No. I like where Campbell was going. That was a good point, Campbell. It sounds like you've changed your beliefs before.
Yeah, and so I'm...
So she exercises her reasonableness when it serves her purpose, this.
I don't see that at all.
And it was a vengeful act.
Don't you think it's suspicious
that the temple has crisis staffers? What's that all about?
Yeah, why do they have a crisis team?
That has a message to protect.
What, do they call in their usual PR team to come in and fix it? My company's got a crisis team, too.
That's because you're a multi-million dollar corporation. No one can hear anyone right now.
The fact that they're encouraged to report on each other, that just makes me think back to the Nazis and the SS and when people were encouraged on the street to report when Jews were hiding or when somebody has a suspicion about somebody else.
There's these things, we live in the United States, there's these things called whistleblower laws. You're encouraged by the government to whistleblow a lot of types of things.
Like that's the cheeseburger laws.
But whistleblow when somebody feels like they don't really want to be there anymore
and they want to walk out? That's not like they're being like... It's different than the government doing something to illegally use our funds or our military to do something that we know is illegal. This is just talking about somebody who wants to get up and walk out. We live in the United States where technically free will is supposed to exist.
Yeah,
and
that
so,
no handcuffs
under American
line of
law.
Theirs is absolute.
So, but getting up
but
and walking
true,
out
Banks.
Of the room.
But Banks, it's true. We're talking about free will here. There were no handcuffs, Banks.
There was implied handcuffs. It's like you're willfully
narcissistic
kind of-
handcuffs.
You're choosing to put those handcuffs on yourself. This goes back to the Pamela testimony. Did you have access to the internet? Yes. Did you use it? Well, I mean, not that much, 6 or 7 hours a week, but why not? Well, because I thought
you're
that,
going back
that,
to the binary black and white Easy. Mentality of just saying that it's this or it's that. It's not. This whole case sits in that middle gray area.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
But we're going to need to make
it
a decision.
Gray. It is
It's going to be guilty
gray.
Or not guilty, and that's going to happen. I want preparing all of you guys for
I'm
that.
Just really
well, it's
struggling
not guilty
to understand
or
why.
Not guilty. It's what does she reasonably believe that she is preventing death or harm to the world?
My job as the jury foreman is to prepare all of you to make a decision, and I'm trying to edge us along there. If you're not, that's what I'm trying to get us to.
I'd like to offer a question.
Go ahead, Van.
Is Kyle Adams a victim of murder? Is he a victim of what?
Yes,
are you gonna say he wasn't murdered?
No.
Therefore, she can be.
No one has ever said that she didn't kill him or that he wasn't murdered.
She okay.
We
called
are
the police
keenly aware of that. She admitted to herself.
And so, do we exonerate her then?
Let's focus here. No, we're not there yet. I want to focus on whether or not this. And I'm going to take a vote right now because I like voting because we do well on it.
Right.
Did this email specifically tell her?
Hang on, you're
kill.
Going black and white
yeah, you're going
today.
Black and white.
It's not in the black and white.
Did it include a directive?
Alex,
how about
I'm
going to
bring up a very
did it include
point
a directive?
Right here.
Fine. Did the email? Fine. We're going to go through a vote. Did the email include a directive to kill Kyle Van?
No.
Campbell.
No.
Francis, please answer the yes. Yes or no are your only two options.
You're not listening, Alex.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Banks.
I think the email told her. To murder him, yes.
Yes, there's a directive, I think yes.
It sounds like you get angry every time somebody doesn't follow your
orders. You just don't, because I'm the jury foreman and I'm trying to move us towards something here.
Can
exactly.
we take another vote on did it influence her?
Yes, I think
sure.
Only after Francis answers yes or no.
Indirectly, yes. Indirectly, yes. Directly, specifically, no.
Okay, now can we go through Campbell's question? Okay, and by the way, I'm also in the no camp. So it sounds like everybody except for Banks. Okay,
yes.
Fine. So do you think that the email influenced her to buy a gun, Van? Influence.
Based on the testimony, yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Indirectly, yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure.
Next time on Deliberations.
Those experiences at that time were loving.
This is not someone who loves their husband.
I can't believe what I did.
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Rudy Sallow, Sherry Michaels, Mark Smeltzer, Kate Mullen-Wallace, J.P. Stanley, and Jim Donnelly. Courtroom, Katerina Tana, Ramondo Isom, Cooper Hardin, and Megan Gillette. On this Friday's jury break, we're talking to true crime obsessed's very own Patrick Hines about Jim Jones and the mass murder, not the mass suicide, that happened in Jonestown. See you then.